Trend number 5, synthetic blood. More than 100 million pints of blood are transfused into patients each year during emergencies or in surgery. But as recently as 1999, patients were forced to postpone elective surgery because of a shortage of blood. Whole blood only lasts 6 weeks at the most. In addition, donated blood can carry diseases or produce dangerous immune responses. Donating blood is a life-saving effort, but it comes with a host of problems, and no real way to solve them has emerged. What has emerged is a decades-long effort to create a substitute for blood that the body can use until it can naturally replace its own supply when blood is lost. It began in the 1930s when a biochemistry student at Cambridge University, Max Perutz, gradually worked out the structure of hemoglobin and received a Nobel Prize for that work in 1962. Human hemoglobin is made up of two subunits, each of which contains an iron atom. Iron readily binds with oxygen, which is how the blood carries that gas around the body. A fully saturated molecule can carry 4 oxygen molecules. Various factors influence how much oxygen the hemoglobin molecule will carry, such as temperature and pH. A chemical called DPG causes hemoglobin to bind less firmly to oxygen. That is a key factor to consider when developing artificial blood, because in order for hemoglobin to deliver oxygen to the body, it must let go of the oxygen it carries. If the oxygen is too tightly attached to the hemoglobin, the blood will carry it, but it won't give it up when the body needs it. So when hemoglobin picks up fresh oxygen in the lungs, it has to deactivate DPG. As it moves toward the delivery site for oxygen, it has to reactivate the DPG, which also facilitates picking up carbon dioxide, a waste product. The carbon dioxide is then carried back to the lungs and the process begins again. Clearly, the way the blood carries oxygen is an amazingly complex process, and attempts to synthesize it have been met with severe challenges. By the 1980s, researchers were solving the problem with hemoglobin-based oxygen carriers, known as HBOCs, through chemically or genetically engineered molecules. These molecules had the desired characteristics for carrying and delivering oxygen, as well as extending the time they lasted in the circulatory system. HBOCs represent by far the greatest number of products under development in the field of blood substitutes, and some are already in Phase 3 clinical trials prior to FDA approval. Unfortunately, all HBOC products have so far had serious side effects, including constriction of the blood vessels, which causes high blood pressure that can lead to stroke. In addition, they can cause nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and bloating. Moreover, normal blood tests can't be conducted on patients who have received this type of blood substitute. That's why a race has developed between HBOC-based synthetic blood and a totally different technology called perfluorocarbon, or PFC. Starting in the 1960s, scientists showed that solutions of PFC could be used to deliver oxygen to mice, and the first blood substitute to be approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration was a PFC made by the Green Cross Corporation of Japan, called Fluorosol DA. It was withdrawn after 5 years because there was no clear clinical benefit. In 2001, an HBOC called Hemopure, made by Biopure, was approved for use in South Africa. According to the Blood Substitutes Consortium of the European Union, a company called Alliance Pharmaceuticals has teamed up with Johnson & Johnson and Baxter to gain FDA approval for Oxygent, a so-called second-generation perfluorocarbon emulsion. Alliance has been able to complete Phase 3 trials. In light of this trend, we offer the following 4 forecasts. First, research will continue to accelerate toward commercialization of a safe and reliable blood substitute. A shortfall of more than 4 million units of blood a year makes the need to develop an effective substitute for red blood cells urgent. Despite the setbacks that companies have experienced, progress is being made. According to a report in the Journal of Trauma, a Phase 3 clinical trial of Hemopure was recently conducted at 46 hospitals in the United States, Europe, and South Africa that showed it to be effective and safe in patients under the age of 80 who need up to 3 units of blood. Biopure, the manufacturer, now plans studies in battlefield trauma situations to see if a patient can tolerate larger doses of the product. Second, in the short term, synthetic blood products will be used in a limited way throughout the world. The complexity of blood chemistry and the mechanics of the circulatory system will prevent any of them from becoming a universal substitute for human blood transfusion in the near future. Third, by 2025, the advent of workable nanotechnology will lead to a much subtler and more flexible ways of transporting oxygen. While nanotech may not solve all the riddles of the circulatory system, it will enable the capturing and release of oxygen molecules in the controlled way needed by the body. And fourth, in the medium term, using stem cells to create real red blood cells may prove the most effective way to increase the available blood supply. According to the journal Blood, a U.S. company called Advanced Cell Technology has been able to create human blood cells from stem cells. The new blood cells behave just like normal blood cells in terms of their ability to carry oxygen and their interaction with other components of the blood. And the company was able to mass produce them on a scale that makes them useful for therapeutic applications.